Well, hello and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Jerry and Debbie and you, we know you're going to be a part of this program because we have put it on the calendar on a monthly basis due to your interest in the topic on First Fridays. And we just turned another page of the calendar. It is July now. Happy July to all of you. I'm Jerry Escher, along with Debbie Giorgiani. Debbie, it is our First Friday show today.
It is the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, the most holy Eucharist. That's what we dedicate the entire show. And we'll be speaking about the Eucharist, your experience of receiving the most holy Eucharist, your understanding of it, the teaching of it, the catechism of the Catholic Church. We'll be talking about how it's the source and summit of our faith. But really, to be really honest with you folks, when I heard the opening jingle when we were Jerry was introducing the show, I got to tell you, when it says what everybody's talking about, I know what everybody's talking about today. It's because it's Jerry Usher's birthday. We're all talking about his birthday. Happy birthday, Jerry.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. 61 years. You know, I was thinking about this last night. I was born on 7/1/61, and today is 7/1, and I'm 61. So there's got to be something, you know, providential or, you know, grace.
Maybe you need
grace
to play the lottery or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Ask God for a special favor, maybe. I don't know.
But. Oh, that's hilarious. Though, you know what, though, Jerry? Before the show, we always prayed to the Powerhouse 7. Mm-hmm. And we added that we were just thankful to God that you were born. And, you know, it makes me think of, you know, all, it really does make me think of all the children that don't get the chance. See, I'm going to get emotional, to be born, because look at all you've experienced, Jerry, in 61 years. You've accomplished. I mean, you are just super at spreading the gospel message. And I think about it, you know, like, let's just say, and your mother would never do that, but let's just say that your mother was faced, you know, being a single mom, she was thinking, okay, maybe I just need to not have my children, you know, abort my children. We would have lost out on all of that experience of you, or even me. I was the youngest of six, and they call me a bonus baby or oops baby or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it could have happened to any one of us, and I just think, wow, all those children that really wanted a chance to do what Jerry Usher has done for 61 years.
Well, you're very kind. I agree with you completely on that, and hopefully the tide is turning more and more in the favor of life. We continue to pray mm-hmm. for that. And again, folks, our focus today is on the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. We just had this past week a Eucharistic Miracles exhibit in my parish. It was super well attended. People are very, very, amazed and interested in things like Eucharistic Miracles, which, of course, help to prove the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. We don't need them for that. We have Jesus' words in Scripture. We have the Church's history and tradition and lived experience. But what about you, Take Two family? What is your experience of the Eucharist? What does it look into your heart today on this First Friday? We honor the Sacred Heart of Jesus and His Passion in a special way. And ask yourself, what does the Eucharist really mean to me? And then call in and inspire the world with your thoughts from your heart at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
And please, since this is a long weekend for Independence Day, and we're wishing everyone a happy Independence Day weekend, and I'm sure you're experiencing the barbecues and the fireworks and all sorts of family gatherings, but this is a perfect time for you to go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, begin with paragraph 1322, and read all about the source and summit of our faith, the Most Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. It's very, very powerful, folks. It would be, if you are having a family gathering, it would be a wonderful time for you to gather the family around the catechism and read all about the Eucharist. But call in and share with us your experience of receiving communion, because we have a lot of new listeners, a lot of listeners that aren't Catholic, a lot of listeners that have walked away from the Catholic faith. it's time that we really understand the teachings of the church, and we get that out there to the world. So you got to call in. Please participate. I know this is a holiday weekend, but we need your help. Don't get started with the weekend yet. 833-288-3986. And Jerry, I misspoke a little bit. I didn't want to imply that your mom was a single mom when she had her kids. Your parents were married, and then they divorced, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to give the false scenario of the situation. Mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking of all the single moms out there that do struggle with how do they work and, you know, have, you know, children and stuff. And it's tough. It's really tough. That's why we need support. We need help. We do need the most holy mass. We need the mass. Why? Because it strengthens us. The Eucharist strengthens us. It transforms us. Right, Jer?
It does. And yeah, before we get too much further along here, we're going to get some phone calls here shortly. I also want to wish a beautiful, blessed, sensational happy birthday to Marty Giorgiani, Debbie's wonderful husband, who will be having his birthday in 2 days on Sunday. So he is more of a freedom baby than I am, Debbie.
Well, like I've said, he thinks the fireworks are for him. I just don't want to, you know, burst his bubble, you know, so I let him think that. No, but thank you. I'll pass on the beautiful, kind birthday greetings, and that's wonderful.
Please
but
do.
You know, it's nice. It's nice to be born. It's nice to be able to participate in our faith. But I think we have to go 100% into our faith. We don't want any kind of lukewarm, you know, kind of Catholics. That it's enough of that, because we can't be sustained on that. So it's important that we dive deep. And that's why we're talking about the Eucharist today. Please, folks, stop what you're doing. If you're driving, pull over safely to the side of the road. Make that call at 1-833-288-3986.
You know, it would be a real blessing on this show, the Real Presence Show, would be to hear from you if your story includes maybe leaving the Eucharist, walking away from the Eucharist, leaving the Catholic Church for a time, and then maybe perhaps realizing what you had left behind and that you've come back. We love stories like that, people who have returned to the faith, the Catholic faith and the Eucharist. Maybe your faith in the Eucharist, you're wondering, even doubting or curious right now. You don't fully appreciate it because you don't really understand it. You know, we can talk about what the Bible says about it, what the church has always taught about it. But as Debbie said, we need your participation. First Friday, Real Presence in the Eucharist. What does it mean? What role does it play in your life? 833-288-3986. Well, not surprisingly, on our show on the Real Presence of Jesus Christ in the Most Holy Eucharist, phone lines are busy. There are still a couple of them available, though, so you're going to get right in when you call right now at 833-288-3986. We are just celebrating our love for the Holy Eucharist, and we are inviting you to do the same thing on this global program. You can share with the world how important it is in your life. Maybe you spend time in adoration. Perhaps you are reveling in the opportunity to teach your kids at this stage in their lives about what the Eucharist really is or who it really is. It's Jesus really, really present in the Eucharist. So any angle you want to take on this, 833-288-3986. And we're going to Stephanie in about 18 seconds, but I want to tell you first about EWTN Religious Catalog and email. EWTN Religious Catalog is your online destination for gifts and holy reminders. We encourage you to buy Catholic. Shop EWTNRC.com today and receive regular emails from EWTN Religious Catalog. Just visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe.
Okay, so we will move to Stephanie first in Nebraska, listening on Sirius XM 130. Stephanie, please share with us your experience, your understanding of the Eucharist.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. You know, I have a couple family members that have really interesting experiences with the Eucharist, but for myself, it's nothing amazing or different, but it's just a very deep sense of peace. And, in fact, I just made a holy hour this morning, and I'm just always struck by that intense peace that I feel. So that's all I want to share. And I think that I'm so grateful, and I always am praying that devotion will always intensify. So.
Mm-hmm. That's a great prayer, Stephanie, because, you know, as long as we are on this earth, and I think even in heaven, you know, our love for God will be able to continue to grow. And I'm so glad that you mentioned the word peace, because in this crazy, crazy world right now, and, you know, the craziness really is not just globally, but it's within our hearts sometimes, you know, with so much chaos going on, so much uncertainty, difficulties, challenges of life, we really need to come to that place of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And how many times did he get away on a mountaintop somewhere and pray? And he asked his disciples to do the same thing. So I'm just curious, from your experience, I'm so happy you do holy hours. Do you have a routine, like you go through certain, scripture reading, meditation, maybe read some spiritual reading or something? Or what do you do when you're in your holy hour? Just kind of a brief synopsis for our listeners, because I think a lot of people, Stephanie, wonder, well, what do I do when I get there?
Oh, I have two things that I love. I do. Have you heard of the Seven Sister Program?
Yes.
That apostolate. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I do a holy hour for our parish priest once a week.
Beautiful.
And nice. Even just praying for him, I can't believe how it benefits me. I mean, that's how I feel. Anyway, it's been the biggest blessing to do that for him. And then I just received a book, and it's called CAN. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's written by Vinnie Flynn and Aaron Flynn, and it's a Mass and Adoration Companion. Mm-hmm. And it is just loaded with the best thoughtful prayers. And it's been so inspirational to me. And I actually received it from a friend who just joined the church. And she knew that I was wanting to just develop my adoration. So, yeah, that's what I love.
That's beautiful.
I believe adoration is a game changer. It really is. It's a spiritual game changer. People don't realize it sometimes because they don't know what to expect. Sitting in front of Jesus, right? They don't know what to expect. They don't know what to do. And like you said, you know, you're guided by some prayers and some different things that you can focus on as you're spending time with Jesus. But it's a spiritual game changer. Every person I know that dedicates themselves to some time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, just even if it's 5 minutes, they have a very rich spiritual life. And I know this for a fact, because I've worked in parishes for many years, over 25 years, and I've heard it so many times. I believe it to be absolutely true that when churches have perpetual adoration, you see ministry participation go up, you see the parish life just become so vibrant and it's just alive and it's doing well. The priest, the pastor, the deacon, all the lay leaders are doing well. It's just an amazing community because I believe people are spending time with Jesus. That's just my thoughts on it. What do you think, Stephanie?
Oh, I agree with you 100%. Yes. And you know, I'm not real sure about this. We just lost our parents a few months ago. And I feel a real closeness to them when I am in adoration and receiving communion. I just feel that I just feel close to them, and they gave us this gift of faith. So that's another, just another reason to stay devoted, I think. So.
Yeah, absolutely. If you listen to the show, Stephanie, Debbie keeps a prayer book of living and deceased. And if you are comfortable giving us the first names of your parents, we'd be happy to put them in the prayer book.
Oh, I would love to. They were, you know, just ardent supporters of life, pro-life mm-hmm. causes. Mm-hmm. And my dad's name was Cap, and my mother's name was Gloria.
Beautiful. Well, you know, I want to just affirm what you're saying. When our loved ones, our friends, when they go on for their eternal rewards, when they have been baptized and they are, you know, in Christ here on earth, they're in Christ more after they leave this earth. So it's not a shock to me at all that you feel extremely close and you have that intimacy with your loved ones in the Eucharist or when you're at adoration, because that the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, you are so now intimately connected, more so than you were when you were just when you guys were walking this earth together. So it's incredible. And when you think about it that way, when you feel it that way, this moving on of dying here and moving on to eternity, it actually is a pleasurable step. Because we all should want that. We should be longing for that, anticipating that, and wanting it. And so I just say, Stephanie, way to go. I think you've captured something that all of us need to really tap into, because it's open to all of us. We're baptized Christians, and it's very important that we start diving deep, and it sounds like you're doing that.
Oh, I just have been blessed. Thank you so much, and thank you for all you provide. I've learned so much from both of you. Thank you.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate that. Have a beautiful First Friday. And Debbie, she mentioned that book, Mass and Adoration Companion by Vinnie Flynn and Aaron Flynn. That's actually available in the EWTN Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com. Strongly encourage people to take a look at that Mass and Adoration Companion. And that, follows up on the book written by Vinnie Flynn that you're familiar with, I'm sure, many years ago or several years ago. It's called Seven Secrets of the Eucharist. And that also is available at EWTNRC.com.
Wonderful. See why we love EWTNRC, the Religious Catalog? It's great. Okay, Katie, you just dropped off from Delaware. Please, Matt Kabinsky is holding the line open if you want to call back, because I know people are busy getting ready for the Independence Day weekend. But Katie, call back, because you were up next. But we'll move on to Teresa. And Teresa is in Michigan on EWTN.com. Hello, Teresa.
Hi. I was calling because I wanted to share my experience in Adoration Chapel. Mm-hmm. So I was raised Catholic, and it's funny, but I'm not sure I really believe that Jesus was really present in the Eucharist. And during the pandemic, I just felt like I needed to go to Adoration. I had heard a lot about it, but I really wasn't sure what it was. And so they were looking for volunteers to help with hours that weren't picked up. And I was sitting in the chapel one Saturday, and I saw the sunlight come through the window of the chapel. It was just me in the Adoration Chapel. And when I was looking at the Eucharist, because you could kneel and the Eucharist was right there, I saw baby Jesus. And I was like, okay, I'm crazy. I'm not telling anyone. this is weird. I was having this inner turmoil fight with myself, like, what am I seeing? It looks like it's baby Jesus, but this is crazy. So anyway, just then a priest comes in and he takes the monstrance and he says, I need to take the monstrance because we're having Eucharistic parade downtown. And he said, by the way, see where the sunlight's coming in on the Eucharist? I've had people all weekend tell me that they've seen baby Jesus. And I started crying because I was like, thank you, Lord, for revealing that to me. I wasn't sure if I even really thought about him in the Eucharist. I would just go up for communion, and now it has changed how I see it. I'm like, I cannot wait until the priest actually blesses the bread and the wine. And I also teach confirmation, and I've shared this with my students because it has just changed me. I'm so excited to go to church. I can't wait to get there and spend time with Christ. And I just wanted to share that.
Wow. Teresa, thank you for sharing that. As you were talking, even before you mentioned the part about the priest saying that a lot of people had come up to him and said that, I was just thinking, what a beautiful, tender, gentle, loving gift that Jesus gave you personally. Apparently, he gave that gift to other people as well. But when you think about it, the Eucharist is Jesus, his true presence. That's what we talk about. That's why we do these shows. And he can obviously, as God, he can reveal himself in any way that he wants. And sure, you look at, you have an experience like that and you think, wow, I'm seeing things. Like you said, I'm not going to tell anybody about this. But then the Holy Spirit led that priest in there. God bless him, first of all, for doing that Eucharistic procession. but also led him in there to confirm that for you. And so God just, he gave you that experience. You weren't sure if it was real or not. And then the Holy Spirit sent that priest in there to really solidify that for you. You've got that now for the rest of your life to look back on. And it sounds like it has really changed you personally and through you, many other people as well. Debbie?
Oh, I totally agree. And Teresa, that's why Joan Carol Cruz put together the book Eucharistic Miracles. She went on for her heavenly rewards, God willing, and she's just was an amazing person and author and writer to be able to put everything together for us on Eucharistic Miracles. But for that exact reason, to affirm and confirm these Eucharistic miracles that happen, and when they do happen, it's an incredible personal gift, and you received that personal gift, Teresa, from God himself, I believe. And, you know, that's, like I said, it's a spiritual game changer. Now, the rest of us, I was fortunate enough many years ago to have a mystical encounter with the Eucharist many years ago when I was at the lowest point of my ministry life. And so it's interesting how God shows up in just the nick of time, right? But for most of us who have never had that, right? It's important for us to understand and spend time with Jesus and cultivate a relationship with Jesus and to, you know, deepen our faith life so that we can understand and truly believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And so your story, I know, will probably help so many today, Teresa. Thank you for taking time out on this busy holiday weekend to share with all of the Take Two family your encounter with Jesus in the Eucharist.
Oh, you're very welcome. It has, like you said, it has changed my life. I feel like it is a gift. And like I said, I've been able to share it with my students in confirmation, and I just long for Jesus. So thank you for letting me call in.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, you are.
Thank you.
Welcome anytime, yeah.
Yeah, anytime, please. And another shout out to Katie in Delaware. Please, Katie, call back. We're still holding that line for you because you were second on Take Two, and we like to honor that because you called in early. But Katie, if you can call in before the end of the show, we'd love to hear what you have to say about the Most Holy Eucharist.
Yeah, and we've got an account here written, I believe, by Matt Gabensky, our call screener. Mm-hmm. I can be corrected on that if I'm wrong, but it says that when a buddy of mine was studying overseas, he visited a church in the UK that is in a very popular part of town for nightlife. He was with them one Friday or Saturday, and they placed the monstrance on the altar, and the young adults invited whoever they saw to come in and see the church to spend some quiet time if they want. It changed people's lives. They had atheists and people with a, quote, post-Christian mindset walk in and absolutely break down in tears or feel unbelievable peace like they didn't imagine was possible. There it is, Debbie. All we have to do is get people in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and Jesus is quite capable of doing the rest, isn't he?
Absolutely, absolutely. But we've got to believe. We've got to believe with the spiritual eyes, and we really just have to invest ourselves, and you'll see that it will transform your entire life. It's a beautiful thing. So please, folks, weigh in on this topic today. This is First Friday, 1st of July. We dedicate it to the Most Holy Eucharist, Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity present in the Most Holy Eucharist. We get to receive him every day if you choose. So please call in 833-288-3986. I love this show, Jerry. Have I told you that lately?
Yeah, you. I know you do, and so do I, and obviously our listeners do too, because phones are ringing. We have Rebecca next. Rebecca, don't you go anywhere. We want to hear what you have to say about your time in the Adoration Chapel. We have Linnell in Cincinnati. Matt Gabensky ready to screen your call on this first Friday, talking about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist and its significance in your life, your experiences of receiving the Eucharist, adoring Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. 833-288-3986.
We're so glad you're with us on the 1st of July, First Friday. We dedicate it to the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. It's also Jerry Usher's birthday, so if you want to call in and wish him a happy birthday, that would be great, I think. It'll make his day. But Jerry, I know, before we get to Rebecca, I know we've got to just be ringing the bells and sounding the horns and cheering, because we got a lot of congratulations to give to a lot of affiliates.
Yeah, our thanks to Living Bread Radio in Ohio, a longtime partner with EWTM. When we say longtime, we're talking 18 years, folks. They have three stations serving Canton, Akron, and Cleveland. We are so blessed to work with Barb Gaskell and her team at Living Bread Radio, now celebrating 18 years of great Catholic radio with EWTN. Congratulations.
Yes, that is amazing. And Canton, Ohio is where Rhoda Wise's house is, the Miracle House. So you see the connection, folks. It's beautiful. And they have Catholic radio right there. And for 18 years, that's the way to do it. Congratulations. One open phone line. That's it. If you want to jump in, 833-288-3986. That's the number to call. Matt Kabinsky's waiting to take your call, just like he did with Rebecca in San Antonio, Texas, on YouTube. Jerry, you got to wave to Rebecca on YouTube. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello. How are you both? You sound great.
Doing well, yeah. Thank you.
Good. I just want to say a moment. I belong to Our Lady of Grace, and for many, many years, Our Lady of Grace here in San Antonio has had Eucharistic adoration. And we had it for 5 days, straight, morning and night. And it was beautiful. And then COVID hit. And then it all ended. Everything ended in terms of Eucharistic adoration. However, Mass did not end. Mass never ended. We were much limited, but our priests were so amazing that they kept Mass going every single day. And so I'm very grateful for that, because we got to receive communion. It was very few of us and we would be numbered, but we got to go in. So first of all, being able to attend Mass, be there for the consecration, and then see and receive the Blessed Sacrament. And then little by little, Eucharistic adoration started to open up, and it just started with, who wants to start again? We got to get started again. And so we did, and we've grown to 3 days, and it's morning, night, up to Friday morning. And I have heard from people who are now part of we have a solid group of adorers, and they do not miss. They will not miss their hour. And if they're going to miss their hour, we always have someone to cover it, and we do it by weekly emails. We just email each other, here's the schedule, does anybody need, and then we get messages. I can't be there, I'm going to go on vacation. And so people jump in and cover it, and it's the most beautiful thing, because our Lord is never alone, and there's always an adorer at every hour. And I know what it is, because I've talked to people, and just, I won't miss my appointment. That's my appointment with Jesus. And I'm talking to young people who have jobs, and they will break away. I'm thinking of one particular young lady, and she breaks, two or three of them, break away from their work during their lunch hour, and they will come to Eucharistic adoration. And it's like, I can't be without it. I've got to be with Jesus. I need the peace. I need the calm because of all that is going on in our world today. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say that I am the same way. I feel the same thing with everything going around us, going on. And a lot of us tend to get kind of depressed and kind of down about all of the horrors that are happening in our world, although we're so grateful for the, overturn of Roe versus Wade, and that's such a great blessing, and I know God's going to bless us for that. I really, truly believe God's going to bless our country for that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's the peace. It's the peace, yeah, and the calm that you receive, and I want to tell anybody who doesn't go or who can't, I can't see me sitting there for an hour, all they have to do is go and sit with him, and Jesus will do the rest. He'll do the rest, and you will have great calm and great peace, and you'll want to go again, and you'll want to go again, and it's beautiful.
Yep. I love Rebecca, I love the way you said peace, because who is the Prince of Peace, right? And we are in adoration in front of our Lord, and he gives us that beautiful, peaceful feeling. Do you ever feel this, Rebecca and Jerry, when you're at adoration? I do. It's the strangest feeling. Tell me if both of you feel this. Sometimes when I'm in adoration and it's, I know that it's time for me to go, because I, it's time for me to go and I have to go to another event or another appointment or something. I don't want to leave. It's the strangest feeling. I even sometimes I've even said, you know, in my mind to God, I'm like, you know, Lord, I just want to stay here forever. And then I started thinking, okay, well, that hopefully that'll happen when I die, right? And so it's the strangest thing, but I don't want to leave. And in other places that I go to, there's always that urge to get up and go, right? To go to something else that when your mind gets set on your next appointment, your next activity, you're already thinking you got to go. But in this case with adoration, it's almost like I don't want to. Do you feel that way, Rebecca or Jerry?
Yes, I do very much that. And sometimes your first hour is just settling down from all the craziness from outside, right? So for me, it takes me a long time to settle down and to come at peace and everything. And so, but my hour is over. I really want to stay another hour. Mm-hmm. And it's that. It's the peace and the calm and the companionship. I feel companionship when I'm there with Jesus, you know. And you can bring your problems to him, and I bring my problems to him, and I talk to him. And he's there, and he's so loving, and he's so loyal to us, and he will never abandon us. We abandon him, but he will never abandon us. So.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, and I just think about all of the tabernacles in the world where Jesus is, you know, all alone in churches, no one to visit him. Of course, you know, you can't always get into every church. So they have to be locked at certain times. But even when churches are open and even, you know, in adoration chapels, there might be, you know, one or two people. And that's a beautiful thing. But I just wish, my wish and prayer for the world would be for eyes, spiritual eyes, to see that Jesus is really there and how much we need him. And Rebecca, that peace that you talked about, mm-hmm. our adoration chapels would be overflowing with people, I think. So maybe we can
people should be rushing to visit Jesus, mm-hmm. in the tabernacle. It's so unfortunate that they're rushing out, you know, of the church and saying, oh, I don't believe anymore. I don't know if I believe. I don't know if he's really present. But if they would just rush towards the tabernacle, they will see that what Rebecca is sharing. You cannot make this stuff up, folks. It's real, and it's really happening to people deep in their souls. Last comments, Rebecca?
No, just go. Be there. Our Lord is there. Go. Just be there with
him. Amen.
Yep. Amen. Thank you, Rebecca.
Yes. And today's a special day. You want to share a special day on your, not only your birthday?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, and by the way, it also happens to be the Feast of the Precious Blood, just mm-hmm. kind of secondarily after my birthday. No, I remember my mother always telling me that I was born on the Feast of the Precious Blood. That's pretty cool. And it's
that
Feast of
cool.
St. Junipero Serra as well today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Right. Yeah, this is a special day. You got a lot to celebrate, Jerry. Okay, let's hear what Linnell has to say in Cincinnati, Ohio, on the EWTN app. Hi, Linnell. Thanks so much for waiting, and welcome.
Thank you. Happy birthday, Jerry.
Thank you, Linnell. You're very kind.
Well, I'll tell you just a big picture, but I'm going to boil it down. So I left the Catholic Church when I went off to college. So for 18 years, I was out of the church. Started to have a conversion, went to a parish, talked to a priest. I mean, I made an appointment because I had a lot of questions. And he told me at the end of our first meeting, he wanted me to start going to Eucharistic Adoration because they had a perpetual adoration chapel there. And he said, now, you know, we as Catholics believe that truly is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. That's truly Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And I said, I remember in second grade and being prepped for my first Holy Communion, hearing that. But we were very nominal Catholics when I was growing up, so it was never discussed and it was never honored. So when he said that, I said, second grade, I remember that. And he said, well, it's true, and I want you to start going to Eucharistic Adoration. And he instructed me what to do, to being quiet, being silent. Jesus can hear your heart. And so I went that Saturday early in the morning, and I knelt down right in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and I looked at Jesus in the monstrance. I looked at the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist, and I just looked, and I said, I want to believe this. I want to. Oh, the important thing, Jesus, this priest said, I asked the priest, well, what do I do? What do I say? And he said, just start by saying, Jesus, I love you. So that was very simple. And I thought, well, okay, I can say that. I don't know if I believe it. I don't know if I mean it, but I can do that. So when I knelt down and I looked at the Eucharist and I just said in my heart, Jesus, I want to believe this. Jesus, I love you. And I closed my eyes for just a moment and I saw in my heart, in my mind, I saw Satan. And Satan was screaming. It was this creature, and he was screaming like he was being pinned to a wall. It was terrible, frightening, terrifying. And I opened my eyes, and I recognized immediately that he had just lost a soul. I was never a Satanist, nothing like that. I was just very much in the world believing contraception, abortion, people that were gay at the time. It was not LGBTQ. I believed in everything that the world was teaching, and I followed all of that. But when I saw that, and I recognized immediately that what I had just said, that Jesus, I love you, Satan had just lost a soul, and it changed my entire outlook on the church, her teachings, the true presence, and the Blessed Sacrament, and it has changed my life. So I want anybody listening who's questioning, I would like to encourage you, go before the Blessed Sacrament, whether Jesus is in the tabernacle or exposed in an adoration chapel, and just say those simple words, Jesus, I love you. And it will change. I mean, it's changed my life. And that was back in a long time ago, back in when the earth was cooling, about 1990. That was like 1995. It changed my life.
Wow. Wow, Linnell. Praise God you had that experience, and thank you for taking the time to call in today. You waited on hold, and for sharing that with all of us. And there is just so much to unpack there in all of that. But I think for me, the takeaway is you're absolutely right. Jesus is longing so deeply for us to come to him in the Eucharist, in adoration chapels, and in the Blessed Sacrament, and at Mass, and at Holy Communion. And his arch enemy, his nemesis, who is our enemy as well, the devil, Satan, is, you know, wants nothing more than to keep us away. That's why, you know, when we start drawing closer to God in our walk, you know, in our walk with Jesus, and maybe come to him for the first time or back to him or whatever, we experience all kinds of challenges, difficulties, obstacles, things that make us doubt and say, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this, you know, because Satan absolutely hates Jesus. He hates the Virgin Mary because she's the first fruits of his passion on the cross. And anytime any one of us turns to him, you're right. He's saying, I'm losing another one, and he doesn't like it. He does not like it.
Yeah, he hates it. And Linnell, what you experienced, I burst into tears. I almost couldn't speak. That's why I texted over to Jerry. You go first, because Linnell, what you're saying is so powerful. Because think how many people are listening right now, Linnell, that they have walked away and they have become totally in this world, right? Completely consumed by this world, obsessed with this world. This world is everything, you know. Live life to the fullest, you know. Get everything you can do everything, you know. Let everybody live and let live, and all sorts of stuff. And what you're sharing, Linnell, may help souls get to heaven. So I just say thank you for taking the time, because folks need to get back to God. They need to get back to God. It's so important, because if they go the world's way, you're absolutely spot on. The demons have absolute control of it right now, and you can just see it all around us. So thank you again and again and again. I just burst into tears when you shared your story. I don't believe there's any accident to you calling in. And I believe there are people listening right now that are going to go back to church for the first time this weekend because of your testimony, Linnell.
I pray your words are true, and I thank you for this opportunity and for Take Two. God bless you, both of you, and I will pray for your intentions when I go to adoration early tomorrow morning.
Please do. Please do. We would be so grateful for that. And we're going to continue that you pray that you continue to be just richly blessed on this amazing journey that God has you on, Linnell. Thank you for the call.
Oh, yes. That was a great call. That really helped souls right now. Real quickly, I wanted to share, well, not real quickly because it's very powerful and very important, the EWTN Rosary. EWTN Radio brings you the Holy Rosary twice each day for over 25 years. Tune in every morning at 5:30 a.m. Eastern for Mother Angelica and every evening at 9:30 p.m. Eastern for Father Benedict Groeschel. It's only heard here on EWTN Radio. Why do they do that for 25 years twice a day? Because the rosary is powerful. Somebody said one time to me, Jerry, why do you say everything's powerful? It is. It's powerful. It changes lives. It changes hearts. It changes souls. So pray the rosary. Padre Pio, he always carried and was praying the rosary.
There is power. What's that old, I think it was a gospel song or something. There's power in the blood, you know. Well, today is the Feast of the Precious Blood. There's power in the Most Blessed Sacrament, in the rosary. The church gives us, you always talk about it, Debbie, the full toolbox.
Yep.
The church gives us everything we need, not only to stay on the straight and narrow and grow in holiness, but to become saints, even in a world like the one we're living in today.
Yeah, we got full phone lines here, so we're going to try to move as fast as we can. Janie's up next in Rio Grande Valley, Texas. Janie, thank you so much for waiting. You're on the EWTN app. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So I have two things I want to say. The first one is when my son was little, he was about 4 or 5. I was assisting the CC teachers for kindergartners, and that Christmas Eve Mass, I've been divorced for 16 years, but my son, I had to share him with his dad for Christmas Eve, so I was completely sad and bogged down, and I was thinking and trying to put a happy face for my family, my siblings, and their kids, and we were at a Mass, and I was praying the whole Mass to the Lord, please, Lord, let me see your face when I go out for communion, please, let me see your face. So when my turn got for me to get up, I was crying, and my eyes were full with tears, and I could barely see where I was walking. I was saying, please, Lord, let me see your face. So when I got to take the Eucharist, I took the Eucharist, and I didn't see anything, but nonetheless, I just, you know, was overwhelmed with tears. So coming back around to my place, I could barely see because my eyes were full of tears, so I just, you know, had them barely open to where I could barely see where I was walking. And one of my little students, he ran to where I was coming, and he just looked at me. He said, teacher. And all I could see through my tears was his little face. It was so amazing to know that the Lord had given me what I had asked for in that little boy. And his little face. So that was amazing. And then there was another time when I was, I usually go to adoration at my lunch hour sometimes. And I was going to the chapel, the adoration, and I was praying on my way. I was asking, Lord, please help me to be the entire hour just with you, and help me to not be distracted and just, you know, just be with you. And I was praying and praying. When I got to the parking lot, my sister called me. She has a mentally behind child. He's already in his 20s, but he plays with the phone for entertainment, and sometimes he, you know, clicks on the wrong thing and it doesn't work. So I got to the parking lot, and my sister calls me. She said, Johnny got his phone messed up again. Can you help him? And I said, well, I'm at the Adoration Chapel. I'm about to go in. She said, it shouldn't take too long. I'll be right there. So she got there to the parking lot, and I sat outside the chapel trying to figure out why it took the whole entire hour. And so it was time for me to go back. And so, you know, when I got back in my car to head back to work, I just, you know, before I left the outside of the chapel, I just made the sign of the cross. I got back in my car. And as I was driving back to work, I knew that the Lord had granted me my wish to be with him the whole entire hour by helping my nephew with a phone problem and spend time with him, helping him. Mm-hmm. So the Lord does that to me. Mm-hmm. Whenever I pray for something, he'll give it to me in the least expected way.
Yes.
And that's how I know he's so close to me.
Yeah, well, Janie, a beautiful phone call. Thank you, and you've got such a, we can hear your beautiful heart coming through there, and thank you for taking the time to join us on this program today. So much of what you said I would like to comment on, but I just want to go back to something you said. You had that prayer, Lord, let me see your face in communion. I'm sure you know this, Janie, but it's all through Scripture, especially in so many of the Psalms. I'm thinking of Psalm 27, starting around verse 7. It says, hear my voice when I call, Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. And like I said, that's mentioned so many other times during, in Scripture. And, God does definitely, you've got a great relationship with him, a great connection with him, Janie, because it does sound like he shows up, makes himself known to you at all those times when you really are seeking his face and looking for his blessings in your life.
Yes, he does.
It's beautiful how much you love the Lord. It's so obvious. And in your words and in your emotions, it's just beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. I was holding it together, but then your call just put me right over. I'm an emotional mess because I'm thinking the Lord loves us so very, very much. And all he wants from us is just a little bit of love back. And you're giving it in you're giving it so beautifully to him, and he's showing up for you. And think about all the people out there that just refuse to give just a little bit of love to him. Please, just glance at our Lord. He'll come rushing towards you, folks. It's amazing how our Lord is so faithful to us. Janie, thank you so very, very much. God bless you for your beautiful call. Okay, Jerry, we got to get to Marianne is on. Okay, so I think Matt's talking to Marianne right now. I think we have to pull out the prayer book because she had some loved ones that just passed away this week. Mm,
okay. Well, we'll get to Anna then, I guess. Are we going to go to Anna in Tennessee? Anna is listening on St. Rose of Lima Radio. Hi, Anna. We've got about 2 minutes, but wanted to hear your thoughts on the Eucharist.
Hi, Jerry. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I wish you the best birthday ever to you.
Thank you. I think it's going to be.
Oh, it will be. I have many blessings when I am from after most blessed. Every time I go every Friday at 3 o'clock in the morning, I assign myself and my church. And one day, it was early in the morning, and there was a lot of noises in the church, and I was afraid. And I started praying to the Lord. And then here, I hear clear in my head. I didn't hear no voices. I don't hear voices. But I hear clear the voice. It say, "Do you don't trust that I'm with you?" And that was it. Now every time I'm afraid, I'm worried. That voice, it resounds in my head, and it say, "Do you don't trust that I'm with you?"
Wow.
And that's it.
Wow.
I also had another experience. Mm-hmm. One day I walk in church, 3 o'clock, as usual. I'm always by myself. Mm-hmm. And I always bow as soon as I walk in the church. I did my bow, and when I lift my head, I clear so like a priest was given a mass with the arms open.
Anna, Anna, just for the sake of time, please forgive me. Thank you for the birthday wishes, and thank you for the call. Our wonderful producer, Ace, is always on time. He's never late, and he's going to roll that music for us right there. You hear it, the music to end the program. Anna, thank you. Those are beautiful experiences. Mm-hmm. We've got, of course, Monday is Independence Day. We'll have a pre-recorded program for you on Monday with Dr. Josh Packard about trends among youth and their faith. On Tuesday, we have Adam Bly, a pre-recorded broadcast. His latest book is The Exorcism Files. We're going to be talking with religious demonologist Adam Bly on a taped show on Tuesday. Back live with you on Wednesday with our prayer show.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Shows coming up, folks. So always check in with EWTN to see what's playing. It's just great to always have it on. So we all of us want to wish you a beautiful Independence Day weekend. Stay safe, make memories, and have fun with family and friends. We'll see you real soon.